President Trump announced his plan yesterday for overhauling the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA. That's the agency responsible for all aspects of civilian aviation. Here's a clip from President Trump announcing that plan.
We're proposing reduced wait times, increased route efficiency, and far fewer delays. Our plan will get you where you need to go more quickly, more reliably, more affordably, and yes, for the first time in a long time, on time. We will launch this air travel revolution by modernizing the outdated system of air traffic control. It's about time.
Part of the president's plan includes privatizing the agency's air traffic controllers. Ashley Nunes joins us now to talk about what this would all mean. He studies regulatory policy at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. He's a contributor to Forbes and has written for the Globe and Mail, NPR, and Scientific American. Ashley, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I think a lot of people hear privatizing air traffic controllers and think, okay, what does that mean? How would it work? So give us the basics. What is the president proposing here?
Well, the proposal itself isn't entirely new. Essentially, what the president is proposing is shifting about 30,000 employees from the Federal Aviation Administration over to a private, non-profit organization. And that particular organization would be tasked with providing and managing air traffic services in the United States.
And why would that be better? He's making the case that this would improve air traffic control. It would lower wait times, make things more efficient. Connect the dots for us.
Sure. So the FAA is a federal agency, and there have over the years been a number of criticisms leveled at the agency. One of which is the fact that not only does the FAA provide air traffic services, but it also provides the safety oversight for those services. So essentially what you have is an organization that is not only providing a service, but it is also regulating the service itself. And many people charge that that creates an inherent conflict of interest. A more pressing matter for the FAA is the fact that because it is largely seen as being a government bureaucracy, it makes it very, very difficult for the organization to move in a timely manner when it comes to adopting particularly cutting-edge technology that can benefit the taxpayer. A great example of this is radar. So, when you look at airplanes in the United States today, air traffic controllers track these airplanes using World War II radar. There are newer systems available. If you think about your iPhone, for example, in fact, all smartphones, you have GPS on these phones. And that would be a far more accurate way of tracking airplanes, satellite-based systems. But unfortunately, what has happened over the years is that, and this is the charge that critics level at the agency, that government bureaucracy just makes it very difficult to acquire these types of technologies. And very often, by the time the technology has been acquired, the technology itself is obsolete.
Some people who are objecting to this change point out that air travel, compared to, a few decades ago, going back to the 70s especially, is really, really safe by comparison. Crashes are very rare, things that were fairly common occurrences not all that long ago.
Sure, of course. I mean, look, whenever we talk about something as important as air traffic control and the aviation system as a whole, the first word that comes to the flying public's mind, at least, is safety. But safety has become a bit of a red herring, in my view at least, both from Republicans as well as Democrats. The White House says that private governance will make flying safer. In fact, many Republicans say that, and the Democrats say, as you correctly note, flying is as safe as it's ever been. Having said that, it's important to remember that the reason why the number of fatal crashes has dropped, at least in the United States and in fact most developed economies, has little to do with the governance structure itself. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's a government organization versus a private entity. Rather, it has everything to do with the fact that airplanes today are manufactured very differently compared to what they were in decades prior. Right. So, for example, the likelihood of an engine failing in flight is significantly lower today than it was 20 or 30 years ago. So that's what I would say. I would say this is not really a safety concern. Because the improvements in safety that we see are the result of technological advances.
Ashley Nunes is with us from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, talking about President Trump's call to, in effect, privatize air traffic control in the United States. This is something that would need to go through Congress still. Ashley, looking at this plan, who would be in charge of this nonprofit entity then that would control air traffic control?
Well, the proposed structure is essentially that you would have 13 members, a governing board. Two of those positions would go to airlines, two would go to union representatives. You have one for general aviation. You have four individuals who would be elected by a board. You would have the Secretary of Transport, for example. So there are a number of sort of high-level stakeholders that would be represented at the table, and they essentially would determine how the operation is run with some degree of regulatory oversight.
And let's talk about money for this. One reason people cite for making this change is that this is currently air traffic control is currently paid for in large part by user fees from airline users, but that can be gummed up by the annual appropriations process or breakdown of that process in Congress. How would this new system be funded then?
Well, that's exactly correct. I mean, for the longest time, it has been the case that even though the FAA is funded primarily by user fees, fees on things like domestic tickets and jet fuel, it's Congress that determines, that essentially appropriates the funds. And what has happened over the years is with things like, the budget, the government shutdown, for example, and sequestration, it has really hampered the agency's ability to do long-term planning because the agency isn't necessarily aware of how much money it's going to get the following year and 3 years and 5 years down the road. In an organization like this, in a private corporation, you would have airlines that are paying these fees directly to the corporation, and then the corporation would be free to use those funds as they wish. So essentially what you are doing is you're cutting out the middleman.
We're talking to Ashley Nunes now from MIT about the news that President Trump wants to privatize air traffic control.
And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this plan? What kind of impact do you think this will have on airline customers? Do you think this will be good for air travel? Call in now at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're picking up our discussion now with Ashley Nunes of MIT about President Trump's plan to privatize air traffic control.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about how this would work and what it would mean? What is your reaction to this idea? Do you work in the airline industry for an airline itself, or maybe you're an air traffic controller? Love to hear your perspective on the suggestion. Do we need this change? Do we need technological changes in how we track those planes in the sky? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Ashley, I wanted to ask, there are people out there who are air traffic controllers. They're working at the airports today under this plan. Are the same people going to be doing this job? Does that change at all?
It does not change. No, not at all. I mean, part of the reason why you have seen in recent months at least tepid support for many air traffic controllers for the plan is that they have been able to get guarantees from lawmakers, at least provisional guarantees, that things like pensions and job security will not be affected by the plan.
I've seen some criticism of this idea from people in aviation but not connected to the big airlines. So people with, say, a private plane, for example, thinking that, okay, this new agency will prioritize the big guys, basically the big airline industry, and they would be excluded. Is there a reason for that concern?
I would offer a bit of a correction to that statement. It is not the case that they would be excluded. Rather, it is the case that they could potentially see their fees go up for using the service. I mean, essentially what the transference from a government to a private entity does is it's leveling to users of the system. It's charging people for the service that they use. And this is something that the corporate jet lobby and general aviation pilots are quite worried about. Essentially, they're worried that their fees are going to go up as a result of moving over to a corporate entity when it comes to the provision of air traffic services.
And another concern that's been out there, apart from this whole change, is smaller city, smaller town airports. Many have closed here in Wisconsin, for example, over the years. Would this changeover mean anything for those smaller market airports?
Well, I think that, it's a great question, and the answer to that is unknown at this time. Having said that, there certainly is reason to worry, primarily because one of the things that has happened as a result of increased fuel volatility, so in the market, coupled with the fact that many airlines have merged, we only have three or four large U.S. carriers, is that airlines have decided to concentrate where they deploy their airplanes on revenue-rich markets, major cities, middle to large cities. And smaller markets generally don't make that much money for airlines, having to do with the types of airplanes that fly into these locations. In fact, depending on how you crunch the numbers, at least one study has found that the types of airplanes that fly into smaller markets can be up to 60% less fuel efficient to fly. And this is a big deal for airlines because, fuel often tends to be their highest operating expense. So, yes, I think that smaller airports are certainly worried because essentially what they might lose is the political capital to be able to preserve service at their facilities.
We got a call from Eric in Janesville who couldn't stay on the line. Eric's wondering, is this move supposed to save money? If so, how? So is this revenue neutral, more or less expensive, Ashley?
Well, the way the proposal is currently being sold is that it will be revenue neutral. In fact, over the long run, it's essentially designed to make money for the private corporation itself. Now, the Trump administration has billed this as being essentially taking 30,000 odd employees off the government payroll at no charge. There are people who dispute that claim, how it pans out remains to be seen.
Let's go to our callers now. We've got Buck on the line in Sturgeon Bay. Buck, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for the show. And thanks for your guest this afternoon. This is a great topic. Just a few concerns. Since 9/11, we've seen some very significant changes in the airline industry in general. And I think we can all agree that we are somewhat safer when we fly today. Is this whole thing, in your opinion, sir, is this really a solution in search of a problem? Is this something that really needs to be addressed? Or is this an attempt, in your opinion, on the part of President Trump, who really hasn't had any victories since he's been in office, to, give the American public and the voters something that he can call a success.
Buck, thanks for the call. Ashley, a solution in search of a problem, is this something we really need to be tackling?
Well, I think that, I would not characterize it that way. I think that many Democrats certainly have. Having said that, it's important to remember that privatization is hardly... has hardly been pushed by the Trump administration per se. The idea itself of privatizing air traffic control goes back some 30 years, back when Ronald Reagan was president. And at that time, his commission on privatization identified air traffic control as being an industry that was essentially ripe for outsourcing. I do not believe it is a problem in search of a problem. I think that there are very legitimate reasons to look for an alternative form of governance, preferably a model that delivers maximum value to the people who are actually paying for the service.
Buck, thanks for that call. Go next to Philip in Eagle River. Philip, hi.
Yes. As a former private pilot, I too am concerned about the small airports. But more important, I would like to go back to the 60s when Kennedy's promise was fulfilled by an organization between the government and private industry. I believe it's essential that the personnel be civil service, because when profit rules, safety is in danger.
Philip, thanks for that call. So he said, Philip, thinking, Ashley, that We want these air traffic controllers to be civil servants if they are partly, at least, under the control of this board, which is partly run by the airline industry and other people with a stake in it. Maybe that's a temptation to cut corners, could put safety at risk.
Well, I don't know if I quite see it that way. I would argue that air traffic controllers are professionals, and they have an interest in making sure the skies are safe, regardless of whether or not they are private or government employees. That's just as true in the United States as it is in Canada, that has privatized, in New Zealand, in the United Kingdom, etc.
Thanks for the call, Philip. As we start to wrap up, Ashley, the president signed basically a memo, but this all goes to Congress, and a lot can happen there. What are you looking for as this goes into the political realm? What are you expecting to see?
Well, it's a very good question as to whether or not this will get the level of backing it requires in order to make it through. Already, we have seen significant opposition from various corners. We discussed small airports earlier, and it really does remain to be seen. This particular legislation did not even get on the House floor last year because there was so much opposition to it. Things have changed just a little bit. We'll see.
Ashley, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
We've been talking to Ashley Nunes. He studies regulatory policy at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. He joined us to talk about the news that President Trump wants to privatize air traffic control, put it under the control of a nonprofit board instead of, as it currently is, under the Federal Aviation Administration. You can find a link to a piece that Ashley wrote and share your thoughts on the topic. Just head over and do that on the Central Time Facebook page.